Is your business worth saving? Welcome to Business Rescue Roadmap, providing new approaches to your business, how to avoid pitfalls, and proven methods to take your business to the top. Save your business, rescue your life with your host and business coach, Stacy Tuschel.
Hey there, and welcome to the Business Rescue Roadmap. I am your host, Stacy Tuschel, and we have an amazing guest lined up for today's episode. As a leading work-life balance renegade, Samantha Edis is passionate about helping women reach their potential. Sam is a best-selling author of 4 books, a writer for Forbes, and a host of a nationally syndicated call-in radio show. Since earning her MBA from Harvard, Sam has worked with thousands of women and companies to create lifestyles that maximize professional and personal success. She is a renowned speaker, leads a large social media community, and makes frequent TV appearances on shows including Access Hollywood, The Today Show, The Security Brief, Home and Family, and Fox and Friends. Her 5th book, The Pie Life, A Woman's Recipe for Love, Success, and Satisfaction, will be published in September of 2016. Sam, thank you so much for being here and welcome to the Business Rescue Roadmap.
Thank you so much for having me, Stacey.
Absolutely. And your bio was quite impressive, but is there anything I missed or anything you want to share before I dive in?
No, I think you covered it.
All right. Well, great. So my first section I call Commit to Win or Cut Your Losses. So in this section, I want to talk about the choices that you've made to really committing to having a successful business.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when I graduated from business school, at the time it was 2001 and I was the only entrepreneur in my class. But I was always driven by the idea of creating something that hadn't been done before. And that drove, you know, that's always been a big motivating force behind me, is seeing gaps and holes and figuring out how I could fill them.
Great. And, you know, I love hearing the stories of what, you know, first got you motivated and what first made you think to do this. Was there ever a time where you felt like, you kind of second guessed yourself? Was this the decision you should have made? Or, you know, what made you continue to keep going and push?
Well, when I first started my first business, I decided I was going to launch a firm for personality-driven brands. And I was at Harvard Business School, where we would hear, you know, hundreds of CEOs come speak. And I was shocked by how few had a spark beyond their job title. And sometimes, you know, it seemed like just because they had a CEO title, they assumed that whatever they said was interesting, and they didn't think about the content or the delivery. And I thought, well, what about those few percentage of CEOs who do have that spark? How are they managing their personal brands? How are they thinking about their speeches and their PR and just kind of all that went into their personal branding? And so I decided to launch a firm focused on that. But at the same time, I did have a bird in hand, which was a job offer from Forrester Research in Boston. And it was a very good job. And it was, you know, focusing on the media space, which I had a very strong background in. And so it was one of those leaps of faith of saying, okay, you know, I've never started a business before. Can I do it? And it was a time when all of my classmates were going into banking and consulting, and everyone wanted a job at Bain Consulting. That was like the, you know, the brass ring that everyone was going for. And I took a chance and launched my firm, and it became a success. And that was really, you know, that leap of faith was, I think at the time, you know, I didn't have kids. I wasn't married. I really didn't have anything at risk. And now when I transform my business in the last 5 years, you know, as you get older, ironically, there's just more and more at stake. There's some other people counting on us.
Yeah. And I think in the beginning, we're so young and naive, and we know we have people to fall back on or places to go if we need to. And yeah, once you've got kids, things are definitely at a different level, and you need to take that into consideration for sure.
Definitely.
So let's talk about looking within. What personal strengths would you say allow you to maintain a strong and successful business?
I've always been very self-confident, and I have this attitude that, you know, if something goes wrong, I will pick myself up and start again in another direction. And I've always been very resourceful. And I think the combination of those two things has helped me enormously in business. and in life. And I think that one of the most difficult things to do is when I coach women, if I see women who don't have that inner confidence, it's very hard to teach as an adult. It's hard to teach someone to be confident. If you don't have that innately, it's really difficult. You know, I'm giving a TED Talk next week on helping all kids reach their potential. And one of my motivations for it is in figuring out how we can instill confidence in kids, especially girls, because I think it's more important than so many other skills we focus on with our children.
Yeah. And I think at a time like now where there's all this talk about bullying and things like that, it's just so important that our children are aware and have that confidence level because, I mean, that's where it starts. That's the foundation. So that's amazing that you're doing that. I love that.
Absolutely.
So let's transition into what I call money really does matter. Many entrepreneurs learn the hard way that they have to be really careful about financial management, and it's usually not something most of us are really familiar with. So looking back, what was one financial mistake you made in your business? And now, you know, what can you share with us? Like, how have you grown from that experience?
With my first business, I think one of the critical errors I made is I was so eager to get clients that I would negotiate with anyone. You know, I never stuck to my rate. Right. And I think that made it really difficult because I wasn't valuing my own time. I wasn't valuing my company enough. And I think that's a struggle that unfortunately is a little bit gender-based in that I think women tend to undervalue themselves compared to men. Women ask for raises less often. Women ask for promotions less often. We kind of expect to be discovered. We sometimes expect that our talent will be discovered rather than just going for what we want. And, you know, I always say like people are too busy focused on themselves to really also be discovering your talent and your worth. And so you have to decide I'm worth XYZ and this is what I'm charging for it. And the women and men that I've known who've been most successful as entrepreneurs are those who just unabashedly say their rate and they stick to it.
Yeah. And I think too, in these days with the recurring, everything is automated and we're doing this every month to month. We're, you know, giving a service and we're offering something. And once you've sold that and negotiated a price, you may be stuck for a while in a place that you don't want to be too. So I think that's a great way to really make sure you're looking at, is it a one-time sale or is it something that may get you in that rut that you don't want to be in? So what financial habits have you established for your business, or are there any go-to tools that you use financially that help?
You know, I try really hard to just be very aware of my costs. I have no qualms about, you know, yesterday, for example, I received a bill from one of my vendors and, you know, I just asked for a breakdown. And I think that one of the best things we can do surrounding money is to confront it and talk about it and not be afraid to talk about numbers. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make you, appear cheap to ask for a breakdown of costs and things like that. I think that the more tightly you understand your numbers, you know, I was talking to a woman last week who's an incredible salesperson. And one of the unusual things about her is that she literally knows how much she is making, her commission, everything down to the cent, the penny. And that's a very unusual thing. Typically, people who are really good at sales are not also really good at those kind of details. And so if you can incorporate being really aware of how much you're spending and making into your daily life as an entrepreneur, then you're really helping yourself.
Yes, definitely. So know those numbers. That's a great takeaway from that. Let's move on to marketing. So one of the things that we are always focused on is marketing. I mean, it should be one of our absolute main priorities. So let's talk a little bit more about that. And let me know, what is something you think about when you're talking about branding yourself and your company? I mean, they go hand in hand. So how should they always complement one another? And what's your takeaway from that?
I'm a huge advocate in knowing your story, and not only knowing your story, but having everyone around you be able to really specifically articulate what you do is just as important as you being able to articulate it. So if you run a company, every single person in your company should be able to accurately in one line, in an elevator pitch or at a cocktail party, describe your business in the same way as everyone else is describing it. And that's one mistake even big companies make, where we're not training employees to tell the story in the correct way. And so we're all out there all the time telling stories in different directions. And so the biggest thing I've always been an advocate for, and this was when I had my personal branding firm, and now that I'm focusing on women and empowering women to have more, realize their potential in terms of having thriving professional and personal lives, because that's what my current business does. I really believe that one of the most important things is really understanding your story, and not only your story today, but what you want your story to be in 5 years. And so I personally think that marketing is all based on the power of your story. And I've always believed that. And when I transitioned my own business from personal branding towards the work-life balance arena, it was critical that I was able to understand why I was doing it and able to articulate that really succinctly so that everyone understood the transition. And so the better your and tighter your story is, the better your marketing message will be.
Great. And how do you has your professional image evolved over time? I mean, what has the stages, what has it gone through?
Well, I used to coach CEOs and experts on their personal brands. And over time, as my own life evolved, and you know, in the last 10 years, I've had 3 kids and my own life has changed. I realized that you couldn't talk to women about their personal brands without talking to them about what was going on in their personal lives, because it's impossible to reach your professional potential if you are not happy at home. And so what is it that, you know, I could do, that we could do to help these women in terms of navigating their own careers and managing that and integrating that with their personal lives and fixing things at home and at work? And as that became my focus, I really just shifted away from personal branding more towards becoming an expert in work-life balance. You know, I have my 10,000 hours. I've been hosting my radio show for 4 years. I've coached thousands of women at this point. And it's really my passion is in trying to get all women to realize that it's possible, and the most fulfilling life you can have is one where you have a thriving personal life and a thriving professional life.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It does go hand in hand. I mean, you can't be completely happy in one of those areas if the other one is suffering. I mean, you can really notice the difference. So with work-life balance, it's usually a question I ask all of my guests, but this is great that this is something that you are so passionate about too. So you do believe it really does exist. Can you discuss a daily habit that you practice that helps you structure your day for success?
Sure. I advocate that anyone with kids wakes up an hour ahead of their kids. So I call it the golden hour. If you wake up an hour ahead of your kids, you can shower, get dressed for the day, and you have time to, you know, sit down and have a cup of tea, read the paper, or get back to people on email. You're basically starting the day a step ahead. You're getting ahead of the day. If you wake up when your kids wake up, the day's already beaten you a little bit because you're frantic, you're bleeding that anxiety you have onto your kids. Everything is going, you know, a mile a minute, and no one is taking the time to talk. It's a very, you know, frenetic morning. And so when you have that golden hour, it might mean that you need to go to sleep an hour earlier, but it really makes your entire day run better.
Yes, all in the preparation. I agree with that. That's an excellent tip. So moving on to employees, I assume you have quite a bit of a team, or you're outsourcing and delegating. Can you give us just, you know, what is one thing that you've mastered with delegation and outsourcing that a lot of other business owners still might be struggling with today?
I think a lot of entrepreneurs are like me in that it's really hard for us to give up control. And I like to micromanage everything. When I'm most overwhelmed is when I delegate the least, ironically, because I don't want anything to get out of my sight. And it's my Achilles heel, is that it's very difficult for me to delegate. I feel like, you know, no one's as attentive to the details perhaps as I am. And, you know, it's easier for me to do it myself than to explain to someone else how to do it. And that really is wrong, because every time you give an employee a task or a vendor a task, you are basically training them on how to do it even better for next time. And so you have to think of it as an iterative process. And that is something that I'm trying to get even better at. And I think that it's something I struggle with, but it's a common thing for a lot of entrepreneurs where we want to do it our way. And that means sometimes that we sacrifice help for doing it our way. And the bottom line is, you can't scale a business if you do everything yourself. And so you have to find ways to incorporate other people into your mission, and your team is the best way to do that. It also goes to hiring. I'm a huge believer in hiring for attitude over experience. I think that you could have someone with a perfect resume, excellent experience, but if they have, you know, a poor attitude, they're going to bring your entire team down and you. You don't want to be, you know, couching every request you make in a sorry or feeling badly that, you know, you're imposing on someone. You really want people to be motivated to help you and motivated to help the company. And so it's critical that you're hiring positive people who are not going to bring the team down.
Yeah. And I think the key word that you said is if you want to scale your business, I mean, that's what it comes down to. You have to learn how to master delegating and outsourcing if you want to scale your business. So that's great.
Absolutely. And as someone who's run, you know, two professional services firms now, I can tell you that the worst thing that you could do is make it so that your employees are not, you know, interfacing with a client. You want your clients to be dependent on people other than you, or else you can never scale your business.
Right. So before we wrap up, let's talk about what we call the ultimate guide of our business rescue roadmap. I just have a few more questions before we begin. So what do you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur?
I think that the best thing is also the hardest thing, which is the best thing is that you can make your own schedule. And so you can have visibility 6 months out and know that you're going to, you know, decide to be at your daughter's school play. The other side, when you're on vacation, you're never shutting off because no one is thinking about the business besides you. And so, you know, entrepreneurs are working 24 hours a day, even when they're not at their desks. And that's the hardest thing about being an entrepreneur, and also the best.
Yeah, I know. And it's so funny because we don't want to work 9 to 5 for somebody else, but we are working around the clock. Like you said, even when we're on vacation, we cannot help but think about our business. It's just who we are and what we do.
Exactly.
What do you think the most important factors are that have contributed to your success?
I think, you know, as I mentioned, I think it's belief in myself and confidence in what I'm doing. And also for me, I'm motivated every time I receive an email from someone who says that, you know, I helped them or changed their life in some way. I'm motivated every day by, you know, by the women I'm surrounded by and wanting women to succeed and reach their potential. And so that has really driven me. And so I would say that my passion is a huge part of what's made me successful. I love what I do. I feel so lucky to be doing it. You know, the other day my daughter said, "Oh gosh, it seems awful to grow up and be a grown up." And I said, "Really? How can you say that? Like, I have the best life. I feel like life just keeps getting better. You know, I love what I do. I get to write books on what I'm passionate about. I feel like I have a wonderful life." And I really believe that if you're passionate about what you do and you fill your days with that, you are a super lucky person.
Yeah. And what a great way for you to teach your daughter too. I think that's to really show and to lead by example to show her.
Yeah. And that's, you know, in terms of, I don't know how many working parents are listening, but one of the best things that we can do as a working parent is to share your work with your kids. And one of the worst things you can do is apologize to your kids for working. Like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, mommy or daddy has to go to work again today. I wish I didn't." That brings everyone down. That makes your kids feel like you don't like what you do, like work is a drag. The best thing you could do, you know, I once interviewed Jane Friedman, who used to be the CEO of HarperCollins. And she, as part of her job, had to be out 7 nights a week at different book parties and events. So she would come home, see her kids, and then go out again. And the next morning when she would see them, she would say, "Do you know who mommy met last night? I met this incredible author who wrote about this." And she would really engage them in her work. And I try to do that as well. You know, if I go on a business trip, rather than spending time feeling guilty, I spend time thinking about what I'm going to come home and share with my kids. And I feel like every time you go away from your kids and return, if you can return with some sort of treasure trove of stories or experiences, you are making their lives bigger and better.
Yeah, that is an amazing tip. And I know I'm guilty of it. So that is something I need to consciously think about when I come home. That's exactly what I think. It's just so natural for us to say something like that. So that's great. If you could share one solid piece of advice with an entrepreneur who maybe is going through a tough time or thinking, you know, is this worth it? Should I continue on this path of entrepreneurship? what would you tell them?
You know, I think that a lot of entrepreneurs, first of all, hear messages from, you know, without naming names, there are certain people out there that just say, quit your job, go for it. And I think that it, one thing is you have to be practical, right? I mean, you have to make sure that you're meeting your family's financial needs. That's number one. So if you're not meeting your financial needs month after month, and there's no, you know, sort of light at the end of the tunnel, you need to shift gears for the sake of your family's financial protection and future. Because your number one job as a family member is to protect them. And you're not protecting them financially if you're not, you know, earning the money you need to. But if assuming that there, you know, you are in a position where you're not, you know, failing financially and risking your family's security, then I think the most important thing is to say, like, who am I surrounding myself by? I am a huge, huge believer that you are as powerful as your network. And so thinking about who you're surrounding yourself by, are you surrounding yourself by people who are constantly skeptical of what you're doing and doubting your ability? Are you around people who are making you feel like the sky is the limit? You really want to be careful of who you're surrounding yourself by. So that's sort of in a friend support system way. And then there's the other system, which is like, are you giving to your network? Because networks don't work. It's a currency. It's not working if you're not giving. I would say every day I make at least 5 introductions, email intros, introing 2 people that could help each other. Oh, you need a lawyer? I have a friend who's at this big law firm. Oh, you need someone in sports? I have this friend. I'm constantly introducing people. And I think that your network is as strong as what you give to it. And so the more you can give to your network and cultivate your network, the more people will help you. And as entrepreneurs, we really need to rely on our networks for new business contacts, for getting us out there. But if you are feeling stuck in any way, whether it's in your job or as an entrepreneur, the most important thing is to change something. So what can you change tomorrow? That can be as small as taking a new route to work. If you always drive on this street, drive on another street. If you always walk in this direction, walk in the other direction. So what can you do to just shake up the way you're thinking and your routine to shift things around?
Right. Get out of that rut. I love that. Great. Well, thank you so much. If my guests wanted to learn more about you, your products and services or books, where can they find you?
Well, they can sign up for my free weekly newsletter, which is about a 5-minute work-life balance read. And that's at SamanthaEdis.com. Or they can always reach me on Twitter at Samantha Edis, or they can join my very vibrant Facebook community of working parents at Facebook.com/SamanthaEdis. And my book, The Pie Life, A Woman's Recipe for Success and Satisfaction, will be out in September.
Perfect. And I will throw all of those in our show notes so they can just click the link and go right to you. Well, again, Sam, thank you so much. This has been such valuable content. I know my listeners are getting a lot out of it. So again, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Stacey.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Business Rescue Roadmap. Be sure to visit StaceyTushel.com for more free content, videos, and online courses like the Get Focused Academy that helps you let go of distractions and take the action necessary to achieve your dreams. We look forward to helping you save your business and rescue your life here on the Business Rescue Roadmap.